battlefield here on Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Earlier today, United Nations weapons inspectors completed their first field visit in Iraq in 4 years. One group of inspectors drove to a large military compound in an eastern suburb of Baghdad to search for missiles, chemical, and biological weapons. A second group, a team from the International Atomic Energy Agency, went to a small industrial complex northeast of Baghdad to investigate Iraq's nuclear facilities. Up to 200 inspectors are expected to soon spread out over Iraq in search of mobile laboratories, underground factories, and other signs of banned Iraqi weapons production. Under the terms of the resolution, Baghdad has until December 8th to produce a list of any nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons in its arsenal, the accuracy of which weapons inspectors will be asked to verify. We're going to turn right now to Imad Khaduri. He is a former Iraqi nuclear scientist who worked for 30 years at Iraq's Atomic Energy Commission. He left Iraq in 1998. I asked him to talk about his experience in the Iraqi nuclear program and why he doesn't believe President Bush's reports that Iraq's nuclear capability, its ability to create a nuclear bomb, is imminent.
After the war ended, the whole staff of the nuclear power program was directed toward the rehabilitation of the oil and the electricity sectors. And after a couple of years, they were completely dismembered, disbanded into separate units doing civilian work or joining other institutions. There was no more leadership. There was no more management. There was no more resources, no more facilities. There's no way one can blow in a balloon full of holes. What I mean by that is, if you don't have the resources, the manpower, you cannot have such a huge, complex enterprise going on. And the fate of the Iraqi scientists and engineers who worked in that program, economically these days, is very dismal, as the whole middle class in Iraq. There is no incentive, there is no gathering force for them to make any new reinvention of that program, as claimed by the two great powers that seem to want war on Iraq.
Can you go back to 1991 and what was happening in the nuclear program as the U.S. was bombing Iraq, and then what happened afterwards?
At first, apparently, after the war ended, we realized that the Americans who were bombing, doing the most of the bombing, didn't realize the significance of many of our establishments. Only after the war ended and the inspectors came did they find out that there were some buildings which they have missed, and that the building that they did hit, by chance, in a sense, was a very important link in the whole program. So that told us that these intelligence agencies either were so devoid of real knowledge of a program that has been going on for 10 years and with 7,000 staff participants, or now they are doing the same thing again. They are feeding the wrong information to their leadership that there is a program when there isn't. It's just so contradictory.
Where were you at the time?
I was assigned to a, I was reallocated to a safe location for the families of the top nuclear scientists near a site that was bombed in the last few days by the Americans when they realized it looked like a site that there was some activity and concern when it was bombed. So I was in that site, and that housing complex was also bombed, and my family escaped, luckily. And then we went back to Baghdad to do the reconstruction.
We're talking to Imad Khaduri, who was involved with Iraq's nuclear program for 30 years. So after 1991, can you describe the level of Iraq's nuclear program and then what happened over the next years and what happened when the weapons inspectors came in?
It was simply a mopping up operation of whatever was going on. taking care of the staff, dispersing them, assigning them to the rehabilitation of the oil refineries that were bombed, the electric power stations that were destroyed. And then many of them went back to universities. They just sort of drifted loosely. There was no more work on any nuclear, in a sense, or in this grave sense that is now portrayed after 1990. There was simply no more resources, no more management to carry on this great complex of enterprise.
Can you talk about what happened in 1994 when a report surfaced claiming that Iraq was still manufacturing a nuclear bomb?
Yes, apparently the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, was very interested in that, and they rushed to Baghdad trying to verify this report. And as soon as we took a good look at it, it was quite apparent that some of the words used in the report are not used by Arabic-speaking people, but by Iranians. And we bought a dictionary to verify what we are saying. For example, a semi-dome is called differently in Arabic and in Iranian, and we pointed that out. And the IA experts were convinced, and they never brought up the matter again. It's part of the propaganda against Iraq that we were still carrying on any sort of nuclear weapon program, which is false.
Mm-hmm. What about how the Iraqi nuclear program developed in the first place, going back to the 1950s?
Well, it is strange enough that the Iraqi nuclear program started with an American aid of a complete library under the Eisenhower's Atom for Peace program. That arrived in Iraq in 1956. Some of the information and the reports there actually contained the Manhattan Project reports that Americans built the atomic bomb upon. And that finally, it was with us, and we could look at it in the end, and we made some use of it.
Are you saying you had classified U.S. Manhattan Project documents?
The complete set of reports that were published, yes.
From who?
United States.
But who gave them to Iraq?
Eisenhower.
He gave the classified documents.
Well, at the time, it was the action against the Soviet entrance into the nuclear club, and there was this Atom for Peace program. And the Americans' position at the time was, if you spread this news, you will lessen the knowledge of, you are being frank about what you're doing. And the reports, in any case, were from the Manhattan Project, were at that time considered part of the scientific literature. Only later did the Americans clamp down on this information.
And in the Atoms for Peace program, was that for atomic energy for peaceful purposes or with the very clear intent of developing the atomic bomb?
No, it was for peaceful purposes. But that set of Manhattan projects was part of it somehow.
Uh-huh. We're talking to Dr. Imad Khaduri, involved with Iraq's nuclear program for 30 years. Can you talk about UN Weapons Inspector David Kaye and what he discovered and when he discovered it?
Yes, this person had some information on the location of our set of documents, complete set of documents, which are the result of our scientific research that was being done. Sorry. And he raided the building that the documents were in the morning of one day. And from that, they gleaned the information that there were much more to the atomic weaponization program than they originally thought. And that led to further discoveries on that line. But all the while, they were digging into the ruins of the program. Nothing that was going on at the anymore, any continuation of the program, just the skeleton or the remains of what was.
They were being housed in a welded train car that was traveling up and down Iraq?
That was the initial intent of hiding them, but when the inspectors came and they were starting asking scientific questions from our staff, our nuclear scientists, and the scientists had to have the information and the reports so they can give them to the inspectors. They requested that these reports be handed back to them so that they can refer to them when to answer questions. We were open about it. So they had, then the order was given to stop that rain, get the documents back, and to let the scientists and engineers look at them. And that's how somehow Kay got the information and timely ambushed them.
Hussein Kamil, the son-in-law of Saddam Hussein, was in charge of the military industrial authority that was in charge of the nuclear weapons program?
Yes, he took charge of the program in 1987. And for the 3 years following until the war, the program accelerated immensely in its activities. And he was in charge until he left.
And he went to Jordan?
Yes, in 1995.
And there he talked about his documents being buried in his farm?
Yes, he did, actually. And there were apparently documents not related to the nuclear, as I mentioned. There's other information, maybe one or two documents, but the majority of the documents about the nuclear was the cash that David Kay found in that building.
Mm-hmm. Then he was, Hussein Kamil was killed when he went back to Iraq. Saddam Hussein had him killed?
Well, apparently he was given a chance to come back, and it didn't work out that way.
Uh-huh. So now we have the latest reports with people like Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, talking about the aluminum rods that were found having been sent to Iraq, and these could be used or were proof of the nuclear weapons program. Can you talk about that, how they could be used and what they meant to you?
There are so many components in such a complex enterprise that any of these elements as these materials can be misguidedly pointed out as being useful. Even today in the morning, there were some carbon graphite rods used in batteries. Well, it was said they could be used in missiles or whatever. I mean, it's so easy to make claims of the sort. But let Condoleezza Rice talk about who is going to use these. There's nobody there to use this. You cannot beat a dead horse to get up again. And this is all part of the misinformation that's being spread around.
I'm looking at a piece now about President Bush's remarks on the Iraqi threat. Many people have asked how close Saddam Hussein is to developing a nuclear weapon. Bush said, he says, we don't exactly know, and that's the problem. Before the Gulf War, the best intelligence indicated Iraq was 8 to 10 years away from developing a nuclear weapon. After the war, international inspectors learned the regime has been much closer. He went on to say that the evidence indicates that Iraq is reconstituting its nuclear weapons program. Saddam Hussein has held numerous meetings with Iraqi nuclear scientists, a group he calls his nuclear mujahideen, his nuclear holy warriors. Satellite photographs reveal Iraq is rebuilding facilities at sites that have been part of its nuclear program in the past. Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons. These President Bush's recent comments in Cincinnati, Ohio.
These are very flimsy indications that are being put forward. Let them just ask the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IEA. They put a report in 1998 stating quite evidently that there is no such program. In 2-3 years, such a huge enterprise cannot be resurrected. And the IEA is there now today. They can look again. And any of this can be easily disclaimed by just asking the IAEA. You don't have to ask me or anybody else. Just ask the International Atomic Energy Commission. They will confirm that such a program on such a scale is just impossible to carry through. And all this that's being put forward by whoever you mentioned on his reports from his intelligence is either intentionally false or is evidently not true.
Well, these are Bush's own statements. He said, if the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
This is not like a bullet. You have to have a gun. You cannot deliver, even if you have this little ball in your hand, how can you deliver it? With what means? With what rockets? With what guidance system? With what control systems? The whole infrastructure is not there.
Imad Kaduri, former nuclear scientists in Iraq for the last 30 years, left Iraq in 1998, now teaches at Seneca College in Canada. And that does it for today's show. If you'd like to order a video or audio cassette copy, you can call 1-800-881-2359. That's 1-800-881-2359. Tomorrow on Democracy Now! On Thanksgiving, we will bring you a speech by historian Howard Zinn.